You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of December. The Jazz have lost three in a row. We'll try to digest what's taking place. And I'm going to look at it defensively instead of offensively and try to figure out what that means. An NBA 5 look as well, that Victor Oladipo is just better than Paul George. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, behind the curtains look, and geeky weird stats that nobody else could possibly give you. Thanks so much for subscribing. I do appreciate the fabulous amount of reviews. And if you have not left a review on iTunes, they are always great to have. They help you in the ratings. They help all sorts of things. So that would be super if you felt comfortable doing that. And if you gave us 5 stars, me, myself, and you, that would be great. We've had 518 so far, and it's super, super thankful for the fact that you've done that. All right, I am going to, we got 2 days of shows here. So tomorrow I'm going to really dig in to all of the options. Do you bench Favors? Do you bench Rubio? Do you start Donovan? Is Rudy the problem? I'm going to do all of that tomorrow. Today, I want to take a second and try to diagnose the issue before we go and, you know, change people's season and things of that nature. I just feel like that's the better approach. And so that's what we're going to do today. We'll do our regular recap of what happened Saturday and move on. Today's show brought to you by Slow the Flow, the good people over at Slow the Flow. We have slowed the flow on our winning. We would like to slow the flow on water usage instead. And Murdoch Chevy, the guys over at Woods Cross, Tyson and the crew over in Woods Cross. All right, let's go back and review, as we always do, on the numbers on Saturday. And the big story on Saturday was the start of the game was once again poor by the Utah Jazz. That here we are again, the lineup of Favors and Gobert sets us back. And that's disconcerting and never really recovered. Game was not a close one. We got blasted by the Bucks. The pace of play was 95, which is a little right about our number. Their offensive rating was a 123. So a really, really bad defensive game for the Jazz. And this is what was why we're going to dig in segment two today, why we're going to dig into defense. Because the offense was a 105.3. And there are some definitely offensive signs that are troublesome. Particularly, you know, we were over 110 offensive rating, which would put us in the realm of the Warriors and the Rockets for the 10 of the 12 games that Rudy Gobert missed. But what I think for a second is, now wait a second, that's cool, and I'm pretty fired up that that happened, but do any of us really believe that a team with Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Tabo Cephalosha, Jonas Derebko, Rudy Gobert, Derek Fitch, is a top three offensive team in the NBA? So I don't. I think Quinn Snyder is really, really bright and is a heck of a good coach. And I do think that it's a bit kind of eye-opening if you go look at this team from November 11th to December 4th, and Rudy does play that December 4th game, that you're over 110 offensive rating in all of those games, except for two. And in every other game we have played this year, we have not been over 110 offensive rating in any of them. Okay? So, yes, that's a bit disconcerting. Now, that's a little bit also skewed, because Rudy plays that game against Washington. So, and that's our second best offensive game of the year and our best defensive game of the year. So it's a, you know, but okay, so you take that one out. Yes, there's something that's eye-opening that in all but two games in which of the 11, I think it was, that Rudy didn't play, our offensive rating was 110 or above. And there's only been one game, which was his first game back, in which, against Washington, in which we've been over 110. Okay, that we're going to dig into that tomorrow. It is also worth noting, though, that in that 11-game stretch, we had 6 defensive games over 110 defensive rating. And prior to that, it had only happened twice all season long. So the question I would ask here as we'll dig into these numbers a little bit more on Saturday's game, but do we suddenly think that we're supposed to be an offensive juggernaut? Because I don't. I still think the core of this team is it has to be a defensive team. And the biggest mistakes I have ever seen by any franchise that I've been around in my 25 years in this league is when you start to make adjustments. So you have your core belief of who you are, and then you make an adjustment, and then you make an adjustment off the adjustment, and then you make another adjustment off the adjustment, and then you make another adjustment off the adjustment, and another adjustment, and you're supposed to be in Los Angeles, California, and you're now in Topeka, Kansas. What you need to do is this is who we are, make an adjustment, go back to who you are, and make another adjustment. I trust Quinn pretty heavily on that. But my point here, if those numbers didn't make any sense, is that in this 11-game stretch where we did well, we were an offensive juggernaut with an average to below average defense. And I don't personally believe that's a script for us to win a lot of games this year. We'll dig into this a little bit more. Let's go back to the other night. Effective field goal percentage by the Bucs was 59%. They had 15 fast break points. Ours was below 50% at 49. League average is 50. We had 9 fast break points. They got in the paint for 60 point paints. Now, this is what will be eye-opening. Let's go look at the shot charts. They got in on the rim on us defensively in a way that doesn't happen very often. Now, they also have a player in Giannis Antetokounmpo that may have never happened before. I mean, he is really remarkable. And he torched us. And prior to that, we'd done a pretty good job with him. And it's interesting to look at his game-by-game shooting log against us over the years, because it shows not our weaknesses, but his player growth. In the years, in his shots in the restricted area against the Jazz over the years, and this is not that the Jazz got less good. This is that Giannis developed. He in his 2014 in the two games in 2014, 4-5. In 2015 in the two games, 7-4. In the two games in 2016, he took 4-4 shots in the restricted area. In 2017, he took 4 the first time and 8 the second time. And the two games this year, he took 10 and 13 shots in the restricted area. He took 13 shots in the restricted area all by himself. Pretty incredible. Shooting. They hit 10 of 42 uncontested shots for 48%, so they made their shots. The Jazz hit 18 of 39, 46%, so they made their shots. Both sides, I did those in reverse. Didn't matter, they're the exact same. Both sides made shots. Donovan was 0 of 8 uncontested shots, however. 4 of 9 on uncontested. They had a scouting report on him. Giannis hit 4 of 8 on uncontested. Middleton, 5 of 7. The Bucks are really good. The Bucks are 35-21 since Middleton came back, and 11-4 since the Bledsoe trade this year. So they're really good. Probably something, you know, we forget that the other guys are good too, right? That's one that we often forget. The shooting chart in this game was just remarkable. So because of Giannis getting that many shots at the rim, that's just where he's developed into that player. So they took in the restricted area. They took 33 shots in the restricted area against the Jazz the other night. They took 13 in the paint mid-range, 18 in pure mid-range. They hit 6 of 12 and above the break threes. That's a really, really high number.
Great passer.
The Jazz took 32 and only made 18 because Donovan has a tough day. 3 of 13 and 4 of 8. One note on Donovan, not shooting the mid-ranger well. That makes some of this difficult. He's got to either get to the rim or shoot the three right now, and those are fine, but he's shooting the mid-range about 28%, and that eliminates a little bit of what he can do. All right, so that's kind of the recap on the game. I do like that hustle board. I always want to kind of give credit for those players that get deflections and screen assists. So Rudy had 5 screen assists. Derek had 3. 4 deflections for Donovan. 3 for Rubio. 3 for Cephalosha. Loose balls recovered. 2 for Joe Ingles. All right. Now, let's before we'll get into the defensive thing. Before we wrap up this portion of the show, let's take a look at things. All right. So we've lost 3 in a row. We got blasted the other night. That's doesn't feel good. Should we have won any of those games? Are we supposed to win in Oklahoma City on a back end of a back-to-back on a schedule that made the Baxter Holmes toughest schedules in the year? Are we supposed to win at Houston against Houston right now? They're the Warriors. So let me ask you that question. Were we supposed to beat the Warriors at home? Because the Rockets are the Warriors. They're every bit as good over the last years. And are we supposed to win in Milwaukee? Team that's 35-21 over their last. So I think we could look better. I would agree with that. But I'm not sure that those are 3 games we're supposed to win. Here's the part of this analysis that has to be talked about. Okay, that really, truly has to be discussed more than anything else out there. Because before you, and I talked about this in Empty the Noggin, before you go and decide that you're going to make a change, you better diagnose the problem correctly. And we'll talk about the possibilities of change tomorrow. It's a long show. I didn't think I could do both on the same day. But let's take a moment here for a second and diagnose the problem. So the Jazz run, when they were so good, they torched the Brooklyn Nets, who are 20th in the league defensively, right? So they torched the Miami against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They had a 102 offensive rating, so they didn't get over 110. They're below average. Minnesota's 25th. They beat the Knicks, who are now 15th but weren't then, and they had a 110. Brooklyn ranks 20th defensively. Orlando Magic ranked 23rd defensively. They played Philadelphia 76ers, who were an above-average defense at 13, and the Jazz offensive rating that night was an 85.7. They played the Bulls, who was 27th in the league defensively. They got Milwaukee pretty good. That was a really impressive win when they torched Milwaukee the last time. They played Denver, who is 24th in the league defensively. They've played the Clippers, who's 28th in the league defensively. They played New Orleans, who's 21st in the league defensively. All right? So in the stretch where the Jazz spread the offense, go to one big, and are unreal offensively, they are playing the worst defensive teams in the league universally across the board, except for Philadelphia, who's not even good, 13th. They didn't play a top 10 defense. They didn't play a single top 10 defense. They, frankly, didn't play a top 12 defense. And the 13th killed them. 85.7 offensive rating. By the way, then we played the Thunder, who are number 2 in the league defensively, and our offense wasn't very good. Then we played Houston, who's number 5 in the league defensively, and our offense wasn't very good. And then we played Milwaukee, who was, we talked about earlier, 17th. They also, by the way, happen to be the 7th best over the last 10 games, like since they've kind of clicked in. And that includes the night we torched them. So before you diagnose this problem, you better be right. You better know that we're really that good, or did we just have a really, really soft sequence of the schedule particularly against defensive teams, and we took advantage and had some good shooting nights as well. And now all of a sudden we play Thunder, number 2 in the league in defense, and we that was exactly the game as you'd expect. Their offensive rating was only 100, but ours was 96.7. We played the Rockets, who are the number two offensive team and the number two, number five defensive team. And we did kind of exactly what you'd expect us to do. We really held them down offensively. They didn't, their offensive rating for the season is a 112.9. They were 111.4 against us, and our offense was a 103.2, so it was actually 2 points above what they allow. And then we played the Bucks. And the Bucks have not been good defensively all year, but let's go to their last, we'll just take their last 15 games, which includes us torching them, and Bledsoe being on their team. And suddenly they are the seventh best defensive team in the league at a 103.1, and our offensive rating was 100. That's kind of what we think we're supposed to be this whole year, is probably a little bit below the average offensive team. So that's my big point today. Let's make sure we're diagnosing the problem correctly. And frankly, a lot of this stems back to not having Rodney Hood on the other side. Right? That makes it tough. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Chevy. I am driving a white Chevy Silverado truck, and it's awesome. And those truck owners who have been playing a game on us and fooling us forever, these are luxury trucks. These drive like you're in a living room, like you're hanging out and you could drive it for like 5 hours at a time. They got heated steering wheels. Who are these tough truck guys that need heated steering wheels? They have a remote start so you can make sure the car is warm inside when you get in. It's got Android Auto. It's got Apple CarPlay. And they've got incredible December opportunities for you. Chevy, you know the brand well. Murdoch's been selling Chevy for 91 years in Utah. And Chevy's the only one who has the complete truck line of all three segments. The heavy-duty Silverado, the light-duty half-ton truck Silverado, the mid-size truck Colorado, also the Colorado diesel. They're done in a unibody frame, so it's safer. Chevy runs deep, man. That's a bread-and-butter company of Americana, of Utah, of the Murdoch family. And if you don't want a truck, the SUV line has the Suburban, the Tahoe, the Equinox, the Traverse, and the Trax. Woods Cross, and also up in Logan. It is Murdoch Chev. If you're looking them online, by the way, it's Murdoch Chev. Check it out. You also get the Murdoch guarantee, the no regrets, the 5-day price guarantee, the car washes for life, oil changes for life. Really cool stuff. 20% off on the 2017 light duty Silverado right now. That's, I think, what I have right now. I'm not a car guy. But this has been fun. This has been really, really, really fun. All right. I want to talk defense, because I think that's still who we are, is a defensive team. So I wanted to look at three different things. We know that we're not good overall when Gobert and Favors are on the floor together this year, right? So that's become clear. But are we good defensively, at least? Are we good defensively when, remember, one of the things I've always talked about is the key for us is to be good defensively when Favors is on. And then the last one is, are we good defensively when Gobert's on the floor by himself? Because frankly, that's the key to the whole thing, is that we better be good when Gobert's on by himself. So our defensive rate, the middle of the pack defensive rating right now seems to be about 106. Okay, that's the Charlotte Hornets are a defensive rating of 106 right now. And it's actually, there's some weird things going on, actually. There's like a huge jump in the middle. But the Charlotte Hornets are 106, and they're 17th in the league. I'll explain to you what I meant by that's going on in the league right now, is that Charlotte's at 106, Miami's at 105.9, they're 16th. And then Indiana is at 104.9. There's like a whole point change there, which is pretty unusual. So it's almost like there's good defenses and just bad defenses. A little bit of my point in the last segment. So nonetheless, I think our benchmark is about a 106 is average. So we have played 264 minutes with Favors and Gobert on the floor together, and our defensive rating is a 102.6. Okay, that would make us the fifth best defensive team in the league. Okay? So that's great. That's who we are. Now, our offense has not been able to score this year with that lineup. It's a bit problematic. And the negative is significant. With Rudy Gobert on the floor alone for the season, our defensive rating is a 101.3. We're negative overall. Our offense is not good again. But we're a 101.3, and that would make us the third best team in the league. The defense with Favors on alone and no Epe Udo. Okay, I think that's important. Not just Favors at the five. Remember, before Gobert got hurt, we were playing two bigs almost all the time. Our offense is amazing. But our defensive rating is a 106.6, which would place us at about 20th defensively, maybe 19th. So with Favors as the center, we're 19th defensively. With Gobert at the center, only we're third, and with the two of them, we're fifth. It still somewhat matches to who we are, and it's a pretty big question of whether we can be elite still defensively. Now, the next kind of sequence is let's take a look at the last four games, which is what Rudy's been back, right? Washington, Oklahoma City on the back-to-back, Houston, and Milwaukee. Some pretty darn good teams. Before we get, again, let's make sure we take note of what we're talking about. Ha, take note. You're talking about going up against the number one offensive team pretty much in the league, or number two behind Golden State. Over the last 15 games, by the way, the Rockets' offensive rating is like a 117. It's insane. So you're playing the number two offense, you're playing the number nine offense, and you're playing Oklahoma City, who's not a good offense. So in the last four games, let me just run totals here for a second. Oh, it's got it. Okay. Favors defensive rating with Gobert off the floor is a 110.8. So in the last four games with Gobert off the floor, defensive rating is a 110.8. That would be last in the NBA. And excuse me. And we've been brutal when they've both been on the floor. 122. I mean, we're just a mess. We've lost any confidence as a group that lineup will work. When Rudy's been on the floor, without Favors, in the last four games, the defensive rating is a 97.8, which would be number one in the league defensively. So I know some people have talked about, I mean, I can say it. Andy Larson did a thing about how Rudy's not impacting the game at the rim. And Andy Larson is like, I've complimented him 100 times. The numbers don't back that up right now. I mean, there's some, the Jazz defense with Rudy Gobert on the floor and Derek Favors off is 97.8 in 79 minutes since Rudy's been back. We're plus 14 in the last four games per 100 possessions when Derek Favors is off the floor and Rudy is on the floor. Okay? So, again, when Favors and Gobert on the floor, it's a disaster right now in the last four games. When Favors has been on the floor as the center, we'd rank 30th in the league defensively. And when Gobert's on the floor defensively, we'd be number one in the league defensively in just those four games. Small sample size, but worth noting. I thought that was worthwhile. I think you probably might agree. So I, at least, you know, that's the feeling I have on that. I want to turn you into a WER All-Star. What is a WER All-Star? It's a water efficiency rating All-Star. We need to slow the flow, people. How do we do that? Water conservation. How do you do it? By being a water efficiency rating All-Star. Low flow toilet. You'll save 0.3 gallons per flush, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it can get going. By the way, to the guy who tweeted me that he was dying about me talking about selling Buicks and thinking about my slow the flow flushes, I appreciate that tweet. Another way to boost your ratings is by taking showers instead of baths, keeping them under 5 minutes. I got to admit this. This is killing me. This ad campaign is killing me because now I'll go do, we got the Peloton bike, so I'll do the Peloton bike downstairs. I'm completely sweated out, and I get up in the shower, or I come in from skiing. Well, okay, that doesn't exist in Utah anymore. So I come in from the Peloton bike, and I get in the shower, and then about a minute and two into the shower, I'm like, oh, I got to keep this under 5 minutes because I use about 12 to 25 gallons of water, and a full tub uses 70, and I got to slow the flow, and I want to be a WER All-Star. Little by little, small changes will turn you into a WER. Seriously, take this seriously. Slowtheflow.org is the site, but let's make sure we take care of our great Utah desert and slow the flow and save H2O. All right, I wanted to run around the NBA for a second. I find this incredible. So Victor Oladipo, it's probably better visual, but Victor Oladipo last year in Oklahoma City shot an effective field goal percentage of 51%. This year, Paul George in Oklahoma City is at 50%, so a little less good. Last year, per 36 minutes, Victor Oladipo averaged 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and had a 21% usage rate. Okay, that was 17, 5, 3, 21. Paul George is averaging 20 points per 36, 3 more points, 1 more rebound, same amount of assists with a 25% usage rate instead of a 21% usage rate. They're like the same. Oladipo, by the way, went for 47 last night, 32 in the second half, 14 in the final 8 minutes, and had a 20-point quarter this weekend against Cleveland. Maybe on Friday night. It's incredible. But if you look at their numbers, I would say Oladipo was a little better. Last year, Oladipo was a little bit better than this year's, right? Okay. Now, this year, Oladipo that's Thunder. How about Indiana? This year, Oladipo is shooting 56% effective field goal percentage, and Paul George was shooting 53. So Paul George's effective field goal percentage is down 3 percentage points by playing with Westbrook. Victor Oladipo's is down 5. It's 5 better without him. Points per 36 minutes, Victor Oladipo is at 26. Paul George was at 24. Both of them are averaging more rebounds and more assists. And their usage rates, Oladipo's at 31% and Paul George is at 29. The common thread on this whole thing is that you're much better off not playing with Russell Westbrook. That's really the key to the whole thing. Is you just don't want to play with Russell Westbrook. All right, I am mesmerized, and I think this might become a Monday feature when we do NBA 5, by what is going on around the NBA in the Western Conference around the teams around us. So Minnesota has won 6, and I'm just going to run through them kind of every Monday, I think, is a fun way to kind of recap it. Minnesota's the feature on Locked On NBA this week. Minnesota's won 6 of their last 10. They beat Dallas by 5, the Clippers, and they did beat the Pelicans. But they've lost their last 4 games. They played the Clippers twice, who are not good. They beat Dallas, and they lost to Memphis. They also lost to the Thunder. So they played 5 straight games against teams below 500 and went 3-2. Their most recent wins are Dallas, Orlando, Phoenix, the Pelicans, that's give them credit, the Clippers, and Dallas. Their losses are Detroit, Charlotte, Miami, Washington, Oklahoma City Thunder, and Memphis. I got no idea who that team is. They're still not defending. They are 16-11, though. So at some point, you just got to tip the hat and say they're 16-11. The Portland Trail Blazers, who are now in six, I should have done Denver first, have lost four in a row. They went east. They beat Brooklyn, Washington, New York on this East Coast road trip. It felt really good. They won 4 of 5. They came home to play Milwaukee, New Orleans, Washington, and Houston and lost all four. And now head out for a Golden State, Miami, Orlando, Charlotte, Minnesota road trip. They play at Golden State tonight. Then they go to Miami, Orlando, Charlotte, Minnesota. They probably should win some of those games. But that's a team that's worth keeping an eye on. They were 6-4. They are now 7-8 since. Their wins in that stretch are Denver, Orlando, Sacramento, Memphis, Brooklyn, John Wallace, Washington, and the Knicks. They've had the softest schedule in the NBA and suddenly dropped four in a row. There's reason to be a little concerned. Denver is 5-5 in their last 10 games. They're playing. Jokic is hurt. Millsap is hurt. Any win they get right now is gravy. They lost in overtime last night, beat Orlando, lost to New Orleans, lost to Dallas, beat the Lakers, beat the Bulls, and then we saw them before they lost Jokic. They have lost to Dallas, lost to New Orleans, beat Orlando. What a mess Orlando is. Frank Vogel's probably walking on eggshells or helping to get out. And Indiana, they play at Detroit. I don't know when they get a win here. So I don't know when Jokic is scheduled back, but listen to Denver's next games between now and Christmas. Detroit, Boston on the road, home for one against the Pelicans, back on the road to OKC, home for Minnesota, back on the road to Portland, back on the road to Golden State before we play them on the 26th. They could be a mess and Mike Malone might not be their head coach. And it's not his fault. They're injured. So, by the way, the West is nuts. These teams, just no one's clicking in. New Orleans is suddenly the semblance of order. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Drew Holiday's playing really well. They have won 2 of 3 and 3 of 5. Their losses are to Golden State, and then you realize they lost overtime to Sacramento the other night. It's like, what? They were 8-8 and are now 14-13. They have some good wins, though. Thunder, Spurs, Portland, Denver, who's injured. 76ers last night. It's a really good win. They play at Houston tonight. They then have a Milwaukee, Denver, Washington. They go back on the road. Their schedule's not so bad. We see them January 3rd. They should be in good shape. I think the Pelicans are suddenly the semblance of order and maybe the most secure team. And then there's the Thunder, who had to go to overtime to beat Memphis after losing to Brooklyn, after beating us, who knows? That is your NBA 5 today. Today's show brought to you by slowtheflow.org and Murdoch Chevy. Thanks very much for tuning in. Locked On NBA has the biggest stories with the local experts. Make sure you go grab that. It's all on the Locked On Podcast Network.